Our Father, this is a familiar passage to probably all of us. And Lord, we don't want to treat it as, we don't want to domesticate it. We don't want to treat it as ordinary. We want to look at it as coming from you and see how important what you're saying is to us today, here, right now. September 8th, 2019. So, Father, we ask that your Holy Spirit would open our eyes, give us understanding, connect the dots, make this make sense to us, and change us through the preaching of your word by the power of your Holy Spirit. Our trust is in you, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So at the beginning of each school year, we often take some time and talk about the vision of our church, our church's vision statement, why we are here, why we exist. And back in 2011, our church family here, we created a vision statement, and this is it. As a community of God's people, Calvary Baptist Church exists to joyfully worship God with our whole lives, to grow genuine loving relationships with each other based on God's word, and to be active loving participants both locally and globally in the global and local communities who spread the gospel message of Jesus Christ empowered by the Holy Spirit. So it's worship, community, and evangelism. Worship, it's about doing all for the glory of God, as 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31 puts it. It's all about discipleship, dying to self, living for God, growing Christ-like. Community, it's all about being in a relationship with each other as God's children, as brothers and sisters in Christ, according to what God says, according to how God says we are to be in relationship with each other. He has so many one another phrases in the Bible. We are to love one another, accept one another, be kind and compassionate, honoring, submit to each other, encourage, walk with each other, correct each other, live at peace, speak truth, be humble, serve, confess sin, forgive. We are not left to ourselves to decide how we are to be with each other. God has told us how we are to live in our church family. And we are to be about building that kind of a family based on the authority of God's word. So that's community. And the third one is evangelism. Luke 19, verse 10 says this, "The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." And we, as those who were lost but now saved, are to take up the mission of Jesus and spread the gospel of Jesus. Romans 10, verse 13 to 14 says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching?" So God has ordained the salvation of sinners through his preached message of Jesus Christ's life, death, and resurrection. And we are to personally participate with loved ones and strangers in our lives, as well as globally with brothers and sisters around the world. It's very exciting. We are to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world. And I should mention that it's very exciting that what's starting with our mission coaching process, starting this Thursday here at the church from 6 to 8, we're starting this process of figuring out, why should we do missions? What does God say about missions? And how are we as Calvary Baptist Church going to go about participating in global missions? It's a very exciting time in the history of our church to figure that out and for all of us to participate in that process and in setting the direction of how we're going to do missions. So I would encourage all of you, this Thursday, 6 to 8 p.m., come here. We're going to be doing some work together, led by a guy named Mark Naylor, who's very competent in that. All right, now back to the focus here. summing up those three, the worship, community, and evangelism, we as born again, new creations in Christ, this is actually our personal vision statement for our individual lives, because it comes from the Bible. And we corporately and collectively, this is our vision statement as a church family. Disciples worshiping God together and spreading the message of Jesus Christ to this lost world. This vision hinges on the first point, worshiping God. Because a disciple worshiping God will obey God's word by being a part of the church community according to Scripture, building and serving and encouraging it, as well as spreading the gospel message of Jesus Christ. Disciples want to be in a biblical relationship with the church family. Disciples want lost people to worship the Lord. Disciples want everyone to be a disciple of the Lord. So really, our church and all churches should be made up of disciples who help grow disciples. So summarizing the three words, worship, community, and evangelism, we could say churches are to be about disciples making disciples. Disciples making disciples. Now I'm taking this from Matthew chapter 28, verse 16 to 20. It's not a clear-cut line-for-line division there, but our vision is there. It does come from that passage. Disciples making disciples comes from this Matthew 28, verse 16 to 20. So let's take a look at it. Jesus had just risen from the dead, but not everybody knew this. Many were thinking that he is still dead, and so his movement is dead. And in verse 16, the 11 disciples gather at the mountain that Jesus told them to meet him at. And in verse 17 says, and when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. So they were a bunch of saved sinners, flawed but growing. And Jesus takes these flawed guys and he instructs them and establishes his church with them, with these guys, these 11 guys. And this is what he tells them in Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So Jesus has the freedom and the right and the ability to do whatever he pleases. Unlimited, universal, that's who he is. All authority is his. What he's doing is establishing here with the disciples who he is. He's establishing that he has all authority. And by implication, he's establishing who the disciples are. Jesus is Lord over all, not the disciples. The disciples must submit to him. He is God. He is the one to be worshipped. They are to worship and obey him. So Jesus is establishing who he is right at the beginning with his disciples. First thing, he is God. All authority has been given to him. They are disciples in comparison to him. They are not his equal. Then Jesus continues in verse 19. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The word therefore is present, which means because of what was just said, do this. So Jesus just said he has all authority, and because of that, he commissions his disciples to a task. And the task is make disciples. I have all authority, now go make disciples. He didn't say, I have some pull in these areas, so go try getting some people on my side. No, he said, I am God the Son with all authority. Go and make disciples. Now, this phrase, make disciples, is interesting. In this passage, in the original Greek, make disciples is the only direct command. go baptizing and teaching. Other words in this passage that sound like commands, they are the means of fulfilling the command, make disciples. So while they are going throughout the world, they are to make disciples by going to people with the gospel, baptizing and teaching them to observe all that Jesus has commanded. Make disciples is about evangelism, local, global, of all nations, spreading the message of Jesus so that sinners repent and put their faith in Jesus. A person moving from being a sinner worshiping self and the devil and being a disciple of Jesus and then being baptized and taught God's word. So, what's a disciple? A disciple receives instructions from the master, from the one they follow. And the disciple lives by those instructions. So a disciple of Jesus believes his teaching, believes Jesus' teaching, believes the Bible, what the Bible teaches about Jesus, and imitates Jesus' worship of the Heavenly Father. Now I want to make that clear. It's imitating his worship of the Heavenly Father. Not just doing nice things that Jesus did. He's kind of like our moral example. No, imitating the worship with his life of the Heavenly Father. But the Greek word used here and translated disciple means a whole lot more than those things. This is about a person who dedicates their whole life to obeying the teaching of Jesus, denying self and living for Jesus, loving and worshiping Jesus. Jesus captured this meaning many times, like in Luke 14, verse 33. Any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. Matthew 16, verse 24. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. John 8, verse 31. Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my true disciple. In this Matthew passage, disciple combines a trusting of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and following him, learning and being obedient to his words. That's actually how the Bible always speaks about a disciple. The Bible doesn't speak of a difference between a Christian and a disciple, a saved sinner and a disciple of Jesus Christ. The Bible doesn't make that distinction. Those that confess their sin and put their faith in the Savior, Jesus Christ, are immediately saved, immediately forgiven and made righteous, immediately new creations in Christ, immediately filled with the Holy Spirit. They are immediately disciples of Jesus Christ. Whoever is not saved is not a disciple. Those who are not disciples are not saved. The Bible doesn't speak of repenting and believing in Christ as Savior and not as Lord. The redeemed put their faith in the Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. So that's a disciple of Jesus, loving and worshiping and following the Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. And disciples of Jesus are to be God's instruments in making disciples of all nations, disciples making disciples. That's what the disciples are recorded as doing in Acts chapter 14, verse 21. When they had preached the gospel to that city and had made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and Iconium and to Antioch. Disciples made disciples. Disciples are commissioned by Jesus to take his gospel message to those who do not worship Jesus. He has all authority, and he told his disciples to go everywhere with the gospel as his instruments in converting people into worshiping, obedient, and new creations in Christ. We, the church, are made up of disciples. Now, in any and every church gathering, there are unsaved and non-disciples among us, comparable to the Pharisees, who seem religious on the outside but are unrepentant and still in their sin. Every church has that. But the true church is made up of true disciples, genuine repentance, love and worship of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are to go to the world, to the lost. God gave the offer of salvation first to the Jews, but they rejected their promised Messiah, and then God directed his disciples to go to all the Gentiles. It's a salvation for all nations. And we are to go with that message of salvation in Jesus Christ. And as we go with this gospel, and the Holy Spirit does his powerful work, as listed in John 16, verse 8, which is convicting the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. So as we go, and as the Lord wills, lost people will repent of sin and trust in Jesus Christ. And carrying on with Jesus' command in Matthew 28, verse 19, those newly saved people, those new disciples, they are to be baptized. Baptism is an outward symbol of the old sinner dying and the new creation coming alive in Jesus Christ. Death of the old, birth of the new, born again. It's a public, visible identification of belonging to Jesus Christ. Union with him through his death, burial, and resurrection. This is what Romans 6, verse 3 to 4 says. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Christ commands this act, this sacrament of baptism. All disciples are to be baptized, publicly identified as belonging to Jesus Christ. In Mark 16, verse 16, Jesus makes this belief in him and baptism inseparable. There he said, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. So belief and baptism go together, and it's clear from this passage that unbelief is what disqualifies a person from not being saved. But it doesn't change how belief and baptism go together according to the Lord. So as one scholar put it, the act of baptism is God's divinely designated sign of the believer's identification with his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Lord saves us, and then we are to be baptized, immediately identified as his, just like the 3,000 did in Acts chapter 2, verse 41. And with being baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, Jesus is putting himself on an equal level with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. He declares the Trinity and the union, unity of the triune God, the oneness of God, baptizing them in the name of, not their name or the names of, but singular, the name. But still, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, indicating that each is a distinct person in the Trinity. So, in this Matthew passage, making disciples is the command, and it's done by going with the gospel into the world, and as new disciples come into the kingdom of God, baptizing them, identifying them publicly as belonging to the Lord. Those two things. And thirdly, there's one more thing. It's done with teaching. Disciples make disciples by teaching them to observe all that Jesus commanded. The new baptized disciple is to learn the Lord's will, what he commands, in order to live a life of obedience. It's a lifelong learning for every disciple with and from other disciples. This is important because Jesus didn't teach for fun. He didn't teach to entertain crowds or to give ideas and options of how you should live your life. He came to save the lost and to teach his disciples. His words are truth. His words come with all authority. So a disciple hangs on to his words, feeds on his words. The Bible trumps all of man's words. The Bible is the authority in the disciple's life, and therefore the disciple treasures and studies and wants more and more of the Lord's word. Making disciples and growing disciples comes from the teaching of God's word. And then Jesus said in verse 20, "And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." The resurrected God, he is with his disciples as they make disciples of all nations. All this is done by the ever-present power of God, God saving and growing his disciples. And we are privileged to participate in it as his instruments. He is always with us, with his church, to the end of time, the end of the age. He will always be with his disciples because they belong to him. He will lead his disciples and empower his disciples as they go and make disciples. So Christ's disciples are called by Christ to make disciples. One makes disciples by going to the lost, and proclaiming the gospel of Jesus. And when those sinners convert to Jesus through repentance and faith in Jesus Christ, they immediately become new creations in Christ, filled with the Holy Spirit, and they belong to the Lord. And they are to be publicly identified as belonging to the Lord by means of baptizing them. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And they begin a lifelong journey of feeding on the Word of God, being taught to observe all that Jesus has commanded. Disciples making disciples by means of going, baptizing, and teaching. It's not a clean cut fitting our vision statement point by point, but our vision statement comes from that passage. The church is the home of the disciples of Jesus Christ. We are worshipers of God. We are learning his word and being obedient to his word. We are worshiping him with our whole lives, being in relationship with each other according to his word, and being evangelists. We are commanded to make disciples, evangelize the lost, embrace the new creations in Christ, teaching them, and have them join us in worshiping God and growing as disciples, being disciples who make disciples. It's supposed to be this, what do you call that? A cycle. Me going out, spreading the message of Christ, baptizing, teaching the new disciples to follow and worship the Lord in the church family, and they do exactly what I did, and they bring new ones, and over and over and over again. That's what each one of us is called to. Disciples who make disciples. That's the church. That's the church. That's our vision. That's why we exist. That's why we're here. We're not a social group. We're not a social justice group. We are disciples of Jesus Christ, the only ones in the world who embrace and proclaim the truth of Jesus Christ. That's us. That is who we are. Worship, community, evangelism. Let's be who we are. Let's be disciples making disciples. Let's be a disciple-making church. Let's be clear about that. Let's think that through, and let's aim for that and not get distracted. Disciples making disciples. Let's pray. Father, that is a very easy phrase to remember. And what a beautiful picture to aim for. What an awesome reason to spend our life on. Father, I ask that you would